the food in the cafeteria. I quite often carried my lunch. And I can remember when I was in elementary school. You know, everybody know what a Herman Munster lunchbox is? I don't still have. Wish I did. I had a Herman Munster lunch. It was a big lunchbox, you know. And I would take my lunch. And I've always been kind of weird about food. You know, I like my food a certain way. And so, you know, if they had hamburgers in the school, not good. I would take my own hamburgers. And so my own hamburgers, I would have my toasted bread, and it would be packaged. So I wouldn't make it all up. I packaged the bread, and then I'd have the meat, and then I'd have a piece of cheese, and then I'd have my vegetables, and then I had a jar of mustard and everything. And then so I would get to school, and I would unpack my lunchbox, have all the components, and then I would build it up so it was nice and fresh and crisp because I hate soggy bread. And yes, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody else thought I was a little bit weird, but that's all right. I had a good hamburger, and they were eating those lousy, no good hamburgers I got out of the lunch line. Right? But and then, you know, it didn't get any better from there. By the time I was in high school, most of the time I just didn't eat lunch at all. So that pretty much sums up my view of the cafeteria food. So I don't know, Kaylee, is it any better in your school? You have better food? No, still the same. Yeah, maybe still the same lunch lady working in the lunch line. Yeah. Hey, y'all remember the lunch ladies in school? Yeah, they were kind of scary people, were they not? They weren't like teachers. You know, teachers were nice and friendly, and you knew their names, and, you know, they knew your name. And it seemed that, you know, the lunch ladies, one is the way they dressed with the hairnets and everything, right? And then they had the big spoons. Yeah, and you didn't argue with them. My experience in the lunch line never was really great. And I can even remember, you know, even after that, you know, working in a business, one company, we had a company cafeteria. It was kind of like, okay, if, you know, all else fails, I'll go down and eat in the cafeteria. But I just, I don't know. There was always something about it. So get out of the lunch line. Amen. What does that mean? Well, let's read some scripture this morning. I'm in Acts chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 1 if you're following along. I've edited a little bit if you're following along in your Bible, but you'll see I just left out some things that I left out the names that I can't pronounce. It's really what I did, right? You know, when people say, yeah, I shortened this to make it more concise, it means the names I didn't want to try to pronounce. All right, so Acts chapter 6, verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 instructed them to select 7 men who were well-respected and, look at this, full of the Spirit and wisdom. Amen? Somebody say amen to that. Full of the Spirit. Amen, amen. All right, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. They said, we will give them this responsibility. Verse 5, everyone liked that idea, so they chose the following, beginning with Stephen, a man full of faith and full of what? The Holy Spirit, amen. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, and Stephen, a man of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, verse 9, one day some men began to debate with him. None of them could stand against the wisdom of the Spirit with which Stephen spoke. And then jumping over to chapter 7, if you would, verse 54, it says, the Jewish leaders became infuriated. They shook their fists at him in rage. Verse 57, they rushed at him, and they dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats, and they laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Amen. There's the story of Stephen. Now, I love the book of Acts. And especially any time we talk about the Holy Spirit, we always have to go to the book of Acts because we see the action and the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, in the lives of the believers. We can go and look in Romans and 1 Corinthians and we get some additional teaching on the Holy Spirit, but we really want to see it in action. We want to see this picture. We go to the book of Acts. The only problem that I have with reading the book of Acts is sometimes I walk away with this feeling that the people in the book of Acts were all superheroes. They were superhuman. Amen. They weren't mere mortals. Because of all the things that happened. I mean, we start on the day of Pentecost. Peter went out and he preached a sermon and 3,000 people got saved. I don't know that I've ever preached a sermon where in one service three people got saved, much less 3,000. Now, I will tell you, more than three have been saved over the years, but at once, amen? Can you imagine having an altar call and having 3,000 people come forward for repentance? I can't imagine that. Another story that stands out from the book of Acts. Apostles were healing people. And so many people started coming to them for healing that they just couldn't pray for everybody. And they had other things to do than to pray for everybody. So they came up with a plan. They said, everybody come out and line up along the streets. And everybody came and they lined up along the streets. And they said, as we pass by, our shadow is going to fall on you. And when our shadow falls on you, what happened? They got healed. They didn't stop. They didn't pray for them. They didn't pray the prayer of faith. They didn't anoint them. They didn't lay hands on them. They walked past them. And their shadow passed them. They were healed. I've never experienced anything like that. I pray for a lot of sick people, and I've actually seen a lot of people healed. Amen? Amber, I know you've been healed before. And I believe that as God has healed you before, God wants to heal you again. Amen? But I wish that I could just walk by, and as I walk by, God, you know, the power of God would be so awesome and so great that you would instantly be healed. But that I haven't experienced that. Amen? I'm a mere mortal. And I think about Philip, and I love this story about Philip. I mean, Philip experienced teleportation. He was instantly taken from one place and moved to another. I mean, as much as I hate to go on a journey, wouldn't that be awesome? I do not like sitting in a car for 8 hours at a time. And even worse, I hate sitting in an airplane. Amen? I mean, it's just not comfortable. It's not fun to travel. Well, Philip didn't have to worry about any of that. God just said, look, you're over here. Go over here. You preach a sermon, you know. Witness to some people. He said, okay, that's done. Here's your next engagement. Boom, you're over here on the other side of the country. Who does that except Philip? Amen? Wow. And then, of course, Paul, and I could go on all morning about Paul. I won't. But think about all the things that Paul experienced and Paul did by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember reading that Paul was stoned twice. Amen? Stoned to death. They thought they killed him. They left him for dead. And after they left him for dead, what did he do? He got up and walked away. Power of God in his life. Paul was shipwrecked. Survived the shipwreck. Came up on an island. You know, they were sitting on this island. They were kind of cold. They said, let's build a fire. They built a fire. They're sitting around the fire getting warm. A deadly snake jumps out of the fire and bites Paul. Everybody expects that Paul's going to die because these people had witnessed these snakes biting people before. What happened? They got bit. They died. So Paul sits there, snake bites him. Paul just shakes the snake back into the fire, and he just keeps on going like nothing. Power of God healing him. Amen? And in fact, it gets to the point where Paul actually went before Caesar and preached the gospel to him. Amen? I mean, that would be like, you know, me being invited to go to Putin and preach the gospel to him, or the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong? That's not going to happen, I don't think. I guess it's not totally impossible, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. Those things happen to superheroes, amen? Plus, if going to North Korea means that I have to be arrested and shipwrecked and snake bitten and thrown in prison and all those things, you know, I'd be saying, wait a minute, I think Jesse's up for this one. Maybe that's part of the problem, amen? But they look like superheroes. How can I compare myself to what's going on in the book of Acts? Because these tremendous stories. And so if we're not careful, we can get discouraged. And we can say, well, you know, yeah, I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I got the power of the Holy Spirit working in me. But I don't see these types of things. What's wrong with me? Well, the answer, I believe, may be nothing. Amen? I think these were some rare exceptions. Can God do it today? Absolutely. Will God do it today? It's up to God. Amen. Will God do it in you? He can. Will he do it? I don't know. Depends on the calling on your life that God has. But in the midst of this, I'm encouraged by this story of Stephen, because we don't get all these great stories about him. Now, we see that Stephen was a mighty man of God. Amen? But on the other hand, I can relate a little bit more to Stephen because he was more of a nobody. He wasn't one of the apostles, right? He hadn't walked with Jesus. He was a guy that when they had this dispute arise and they needed somebody to wait on tables, somebody to be a food server, right? They needed some lunch ladies. And they said, let's choose Stephen. He would be good at serving up food because he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's full of wisdom. We've got a problem in the church. What do we need? We need people full of the Holy Spirit to deal with church problems. Amen? Why do so many churches have so many problems? Because I think too many people are full of themselves and not full of the Spirit. Amen? Yeah, we need to be full of the Spirit. We'll see less division in the church. They chose Stephen. And they gave him what would appear to be a fairly lowly job. That doesn't look like a spiritual job to me, to say to see that people get fed. Amen? Oh, well, fed spiritually, that's a spiritual job. We need a spiritual person. But, you know, somebody to pass out the food. And they said, no, we got to have a spiritual person to do this. They chose Stephen. Stephen, he was working in the lunch line, passing out food. And probably people looked at him and thought, yeah, he's not a very important person. He's not one of the apostles. They probably didn't even consider him a church leader. Why? Because he's a lunch lady. He's a nobody. He just does the work that needs to be done, and the spiritual people handle the spiritual stuff. What happens? He starts doing his job. Starts waiting on tables, being a faithful servant. What did it say? It said he produced many miracles. Amen? When did the miracles start happening? When he started being obedient and doing the job he was called to do. Instead of saying, you know, maybe I'm overqualified for this job. I know a lot of Christians, and they have the feeling, I'm overqualified for this job. Somebody lower needs to do this. But, you know, this is my resume. This is my experience. This is my qualifications. And I'm a more spiritually mature person. And therefore, this would be beneath me. They don't necessarily say it that way. But if you listen, that's what they're saying. Amen? But Stephen didn't do that. Stephen said, this is the job that needs to be done. You've selected me to do it. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And when he did that, that was blessed. Amen? I believe that's exactly where God needed Stephen, because miracles were produced. But the biggest thing was life started being changed. Amen? Because I think as Stephen was working in the lunch line, right, as he was taking his big spoon and putting it, and maybe he didn't use a big spoon, right? But that's my image of Stephen, right? Yeah, he's flat. But as he's doing this, he's ministering to people. I'm sure he's getting to know them, and he's knowing what their problems are. And he's, can I pray for you? And I think that they would say, well, yes, you could pray. And I think as Stephen prayed, God began answering those prayers. And people begin to take notice. And then I believe as people begin to take notice, that opened up doors maybe for him to begin to talk to others and to share the story of Jesus with them. I believe people were getting saved. Now, maybe not 3,000 at one time. Maybe it wasn't even three people at one time, but maybe it was one by one by one. Stephen was sharing the gospel and people were getting saved and lives were changed. And how do I know that? Because the devil got upset. Amen? If you're making the devil mad, you're probably doing something right. So Stephen must have really been doing something right, seeing how riled up the devil got about him and what he was doing. And we need to remember, I think this is so important for us all to get a hold of, an insignificant job that's done with the power of the Holy Spirit may become the most significant accomplishment in your whole life. Amen? We need to never look down and say, well, anything's too small. If we're called to do it, let's do it. Amen? But let's do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. See, that was the secret to Stephen. Everything he did, even when it was waiting on tables, he did it with the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Amen? God will not call you to do the extraordinary until you get good at doing the ordinary. I don't think that God probably has ever put anybody in a position to do the extraordinary until they have mastered doing the ordinary for God. Amen? God prepares people. Well, even Paul. Think about Paul. We think, well, Paul, he just... No, Paul spent several years preparing for ministry before he jumped into ministry. He actually went through training. Now, he got saved, had a miraculous experience, but then what was it? It was time to go to school. He went to school. Amen? He got with somebody who discipled him, who taught him, who trained him, who prepared him. Then he was ready to go out and minister. A lot of times we read these stories and we think, oh yeah, well, you know, these people, man, they just, you know, they got saved, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been saved, I'm in the Holy Spirit. Time for me to go light the world on fire. Well, sometimes God has a different plan. Amen? We need to say, what's God's plan? And whatever it is, if it's God's plan, it's never too small, because maybe God's going to accomplish big things through the small things. Amen? And I think everybody would agree, if we're going to go out and we're going to do great miracles, like walk down the street and people are going to be healed, we really need to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, I think everybody would agree, yeah, you got to have a lot of the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. Oh, but, you know, to do the little mundane things, well, we don't really need the power of the Holy Spirit. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in the little mundane things. Amen? So this morning, I want to ask, what tables does God have you waiting on now? What are those little things that God has called you to do that you may look at it, you may even think, well, it's insignificant. It's not a big deal at all. I want to tell you, if you're doing it for God, it's a big deal. What tables are you waiting on? And then my question is, are you doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Amen? What are you doing, and are you waiting, or are you waiting on those tables in the power of the Holy Spirit? You know what? If you think about it, and you were one, I know you guys aren't, but if you were one of those people, you know, well, this is my resume, and those things are beneath my, what things has God called you to do that are beneath your, you know, your standing, those things? Let's pick up those things, and let's do them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that might just be the place where God is planning to reveal his power in your life. And by the way, if you don't have an answer for what tables are you waiting, then get one. Amen? If you aren't doing some things for God, find something to do for God. Amen? And it doesn't have to be big things. Find something little and do it for God. But do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think most of us don't accomplish much, because the problem is we're in the lunch line rather than on the serving side. Amen? We're consumers. We got our tray, and we're walking down the lunch line. I'll take one of those. I'll take one of those. I'll take one of those. We don't want to be the person on the other side scooping it up and putting it on the tray. I want to tell you, as long as you're the one just coming through the line, getting the food and eating, you're never going to see the power of God manifested in your life. Amen? But it's when you go to the other side of that steam table. Amen? When you get on the other side and you got to put your hairnet on and put on your plastic gloves and you start preparing the food and you start feeding and blessing and ministering to other people, that's when you're going to see the power of God at work in your life. Think about the great prophet Elijah. Remember Elijah and Elisha. I want to be clear. So Elijah was the first prophet. Elisha was the second prophet. There's an interesting exchange that took place in the Bible, and they were talking about the prophet Elisha, the second one, okay? And they were looking for a prophet in Israel, and they said, are there any prophets available? And somebody said, oh yeah, there's this guy, Elijah. Look at 2 Kings 3:11. Yeah, there's this prophet Elijah, but he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. That's how he's referred to. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Burn, right? Isn't that the intent? Used to pour water. It's an insult. Yeah, we got a prophet, but all he did was serve another prophet. He can't be a very good prophet because all he did was hung around. He was with the man of God, Elijah, with the J, right? And here's Elijah with the S, and all he did was he served somebody. They meant it to be an insult. They meant it to be a put down. What they didn't understand was really, it was not a put down at all. They didn't really understand that the time he spent ministering, pouring water on the hands of Elijah, that God was preparing him to receive a double portion. Amen? They thought they wanted Elijah. No, they needed Elijah 2.0. Amen? Twice as improved, twice as powerful. But they thought somebody who has spent all this time doing what we see as menial tasks below the qualifications of a prophet, surely he can't be much of a man of God. They were looking in all the wrong places for all the wrong things. If you remember, a while back we were looking at the gifts of the Spirit that are listed out in 1 Corinthians and Romans. And I don't know if you remember, but I mentioned this at the time, or if you studied this list, most of the gifts of the Spirit are focused on serving the body. Amen? Why does God empower most of us with the power of the Holy Spirit? To serve. Amen? Not to go off and do great and mighty things in our minds, our view, right? Not to be the superheroes, the superhumans. Sometimes he calls us to serve as the lunch ladies. Amen? And he equips us, and he prepares us, and he empowers us. Why? Because that's where the ministry is going to happen. Amen? That's where it's going to take place. So sometimes we need to say, okay, let's get out our hairnets, and let's put on our plastic gloves, and let's get our big spoon, and let's go to work doing what God's called us to do. All right, it's time to start serving. And maybe that involves, you know, whatever. Maybe it's cleaning up the church after the painters have been in here. Amen? Doesn't it look nice this morning? I mean, praise God. The painters did a great job. They did a great job of putting things back. But there's still a lot more work to be done to get everything in order. And there are people that have been up here working on getting things put in order. Amen? Oh, we don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. No, we should operate in the power of the Holy Spirit if we're stacking chairs or vacuuming the floor. Amen? Maybe it's assemble some bookcases. No, some of these things that I've tried to put together, you definitely need the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's trimming the hedges. Amen? Going to trim the hedges? Why not trim the hedges in the power of the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's picking up a piece of trash on the parking lot that you see as you leave today. Amen? There are opportunities to do those little things and serve. And God can take those little things and he can turn them around and use them in great ways. Maybe it's time that God's been speaking to you to do something to bless a neighbor. Maybe there's somebody that needs some help. Maybe you know somebody that needs some encouragement. Maybe God's put something on your heart, some seemingly small, menial task. But maybe that's just the opportunity God's looking to do something that's going to have a big impact in the kingdom of God, if you do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? You do it with the right attitude, with the right heart. Do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, question for today, right? Application time. I always like to come back. Well, how does this apply to me? What's my takeaway? What do I walk away with? The old, you heard where the rubber meets the road, right? I heard years ago about a missionary who was, you know, in, I think he was in South America, maybe. I don't remember exactly. And, you know, in the jungle, I think it's like with Danny James. And he had a translator, and he's translating, you know, the message to this people. And the evangelist said, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. And all of a sudden, the interpreter just stopped. Because the people they were talking to didn't have roads, and they had never seen rubber tires. It's like, what do I do with this one? And the interpreter stopped, didn't say anything for a bit. Then the interpreter said something, and everybody started laughing. And so the evangelist, the missionary, turned, and he asked the interpreter, he said, why are they laughing? He said, well, I couldn't figure out how to interpret where the rubber meets the road. He said, finally, I said, this is where the turtle hits the trail. So this morning, let's talk about where the turtle hits the trail. Amen? Amen? That's what's important. So one, are you waiting to be served? Are you stepping up to serve others? Amen? Because as long as you're waiting to be served, God's not going to be able to demonstrate his power through your life. Amen? We got to step up and we got to start serving. And I think then number two, the question we have to ask ourselves, okay, when I'm serving, am I doing it in my own power or am I doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit? I will tell you, when it comes to doing things in your own power, I'm an expert on that. Amen? I mean, just to be honest, I know what it means to do it in your own power. And I know what it is in comparison to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of things I can plow through and I can do in my own power. And say, God, you can sit this one out. I got it. Right? God, I got it. I can handle it. But that's not the way to do it. Amen? Let's back up. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. Amen? Well, Pentecost Sunday should have a special meaning. And I think the meaning I want us to walk away today is the importance of why did God give us this gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we might have that power in us. He gave us that power that we might serve. Amen? God wants us to be powerful servants. Pentecost Sunday is a reminder of the gift of God. So if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it should encourage you to allow God to work through you. Amen? And not necessarily to say it's got to be big show-off kind of things. Sometimes it's the little small things where God's going to be revealed. Amen? Sometimes it's like Stephen, not one of the superheroes of the book of Acts, but just a humble servant who did what never needed to be done. But when he did it with all that was within him. And God blessed that and God used it. And God touched lives and God touched people and God touched hearts that the apostles probably never would have touched. Amen? God wants to use you to impact somebody's life somehow, somewhere. But we have to start serving and we have to start doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So those mundane, you know, boring tasks that God may call us to do, let's do them with enthusiasm, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I want to say, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then what? Well, then Pentecost Sunday is a reminder that that is the promise of the Father. Amen? That the Holy Spirit, I believe, is for anyone who wants to receive it. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you should be asking God, I want this, seeking it. Amen? Seek and you shall find. I believe that God wants to empower every single Christian with supernatural power, the Holy Spirit. Amen? That goes beyond our salvation experience. That goes on to another experience. Now, I will tell you, being baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't make you super spiritual. Amen? You're going to be as spiritual as you was before. It just means you have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life in a different way. But doesn't make you any more spiritual than anybody else. In fact, you may be less spiritual than somebody who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that's not the definition. Amen? Probably will not turn you into a superhero like in the book of Acts. Amen? You probably, just because you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you probably won't walk down the street and people get healed because your shadow passed over them. I say probably because I'm not going to limit God on what he can or can't do. But I tell you, if we go into it thinking, oh, I'm going to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then all these things are going to happen, probably not going to be the case. Why? Because God's looking to operate in other areas. Amen? We need to know where God wants us to operate. So, the power of the Holy Spirit, though, I promise you, it will change your life. Amen? It'll change the way you serve God. It'll change your walk and your relationship with God. We should want it and we should desire it. And then, once we have it, we should put it to work in our lives, in our daily serving. God's called us all to be lunch ladies, amen? But let's be Holy Spirit-powered lunch ladies. Just maybe God might be calling you to do some mundane task, and he's preparing you to receive that double portion, amen? We never know. I'm sure Elisha never believed that when he started, that he would end up receiving a double portion. But God brought him through that preparation, through his service. God may be preparing you for something great, or God may just be preparing you to impact a person here and here and here. You may be like, you know, Peter and James and John, or you may be like Stephen, but God has a purpose and a place for you, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. This morning, as we close, I will say, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to have a desire to receive, encourage you to seek the baptism, and then if you want, come and we'll pray together, amen? I won't tell you that just because I can pray for you that you'll receive the Holy Spirit right then. Why? Because I'm not the giver. But I'll be happy to pray, and I'm sure anybody who's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit would be happy to come and to stay and to pray with you, amen? But ultimately, well, what if I pray and I don't get it? Then pray again. What if I don't get it? Pray again. I prayed and prayed and prayed until God touched my life. Amen. And my attitude was, I'll just keep praying until God says it's time. And I believe that if you haven't received yet, God has a time for you. This morning, can we pray as we close?